Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. These are questions as of June 13th. I snuck one more in, and this is for publication on Thursday, June 16th. And as always, thank you for your questions. Let's start out with cash and precious metals and money questions. I want your advice on whether or not to sell my business. Okay, so you have a business that's worth carrying a lot of debt, and you got a little bit of equity in it, and it's a good business. If you look at what you're doing, it should do reasonably well over the next 5 years. So, you know, I don't know your specific location, but my guess is it's a great kind of business and knowledge to have. You cannot afford to let the business shrink much as you have high debt. So here's what I would do. If I were you, I would, you know, and this is a different answer than I would have necessarily given 10 years ago, but I think there's a reason to be very prudent and not to get hung with debt in this environment. So what I would do is I would sell the business, take your equity. I would try and get a job either with your current company, with the guy who buys it, whoever buys it, or, you know, with another company where you keep your skills up doing exactly what you're doing, but you get paid a salary, you don't take any risk. And I would then position myself to start another company in 1, 2, or 3 years, but one that you can do without debt. So I would play it safe for now. But I would look to create a new entrepreneurial opportunity that you can do without debt, or you can do with debt when you're coming out of the, you know, this period. The next, between now and 2025, is going to be exceptionally rough. I do think there's going to be a lot of demand for what you do. It's very important, whatever you do, you don't regret it. So if you go ahead and sell the business, pull your equity out in the business, you know, doubles in value over the next 3 years, don't be kicking yourself, just be glad. You got to live with your decision, but if I were in your shoes, I would pull my equity out, get myself a salaried position, and position myself for growth, given the way the world's going to go. I'd be looking to start a new company by 2025. Then somebody sent in a question about neural money, and they talked about all the dangers of what you could do with money in combination with the metaverse, and I'm assuming mind control and all sorts of technology, and I agree. It's exceptionally dangerous, so I've left your post in. I will say this, you used a whole lot of divide and conquer, or you used some divide and conquer and trigger words. This is not the first time you've done it, and I'm just giving you a warning. It's possible to communicate anything you want to communicate without setting somebody up for a charge under the new domestic terrorist law. So, you know, let's be effective, and let's not play entrapment. So just don't do that again. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself thrown off of the Solaria report. Hi, Catherine. I live with my wife in a condo in the Hudson Valley of New York, and I'm looking to make a land purchase. I prefer to buy in the area, but I'm anxious about the authoritarianism in the state. I just wouldn't buy land in New York. I'm sorry. I've dealt with so much corruption in New York State. It's unbelievable. And I just wouldn't buy land there. Now, you know, if you love it, It's a risk and you want to take it. It's a big change to move from the Hudson Valley of New York to Tennessee. It's a less of a big move to move to New Hampshire, but New Hampshire's definitely colder. And so New Hampshire, but you got to be in a place where, you know, the most important thing are who are the people around you are going to watch you back and you can count on in the worst case. Tennessee's great, but if you're a stranger, it may not be the place for you. It depends on also who's your sheriff and what the local jurisdiction is. So for all I know, you got a great sheriff and a great jurisdiction, but I got to tell you, I've dealt with too much corruption in New York. Question, where can I read the bill that was floated on the 401k being converted to an annuity? That was a proposal. I don't even know if it turned into legislation, but that was a proposal floating around during the financial crisis. Nothing on it now. I have been shopping for homeowners insurance. Each company, unlike ever before, has asked the same question. They did not ask if we were going to have chickens or goats or cows. They asked how many of each we planned on having. I asked, why would they care? They explained, imagine if one of your goats or chickens got out on the road and caused an accident. Weird. Yeah, it is weird. I don't believe them. I think something else is going on. So I would definitely try Farm Bureau. If you haven't tried Farm Bureau, definitely every state Farm Bureau has a insurance company, and I'd be surprised if they asked that. But If they did, it's because the request has come down from on top to collect all the data. A lot of the control data works through the insurance companies. Greetings, Catherine. I just noticed on CreditWise, a service offered by Capital One, that back in January there was a dark web alert, a compromised social security number. It was also found with info to a driver's license of a state I no longer live in and a phone number I no longer have. I see that CreditWise offered a few things I could do, but I wanted to ask you, what should I do to ensure this one does not become a problem later on in life? I would run it down, but I wouldn't use CreditWise to do it. I'd run it down personally and find out what it's really about. So I would be careful not to use these services. You can use them to, you can ask them more information about what it was and how to do that, but so I wouldn't mind collecting information out with them from them, but I wouldn't get them on it. But I would absolutely run it down. Catherine, thank you for your comprehensive, and when you run it down, keep very complete documentation on what you did, how you did it, have a complete archive that you can prove what you did. Catherine, thank you for your comprehensive answer to my question last week concerning the best use of my time, concerning the tools available on Solaria.com. You asked for some feedback, so here it is. So then they describe the fact that they have some acreage, they've created an organic garden. It sounds great. They've been doing food storage, invested in gold and silver, and put away some cash. So here's what I would do next. I would focus entirely, listen to the Solaria report, Unpacking Your Local Financial Ecosystem. I put the link and a group of links related to getting to know. But what I would do is I would start to really learn how the money works around you. And I've put in some other links that will be very helpful. There's a great book called Follow the Money, A Citizen's Guide to Local Government. I learned about participatory budgeting. I learned all the different great sources to get the financials, the budgets, I like to look at the bond prospectuses for your area. And in the process, I would steadily and slowly, I just get more and more knowledge about how the money works around you. I definitely find out who's your sheriff and what's going on in your local sheriff's office. So I would get far more situational intelligence about how the money and resources and power work around you. And then I would use that knowledge to identify a few key allies who are doing great things in your area. Just support them quietly. Easily start supporting them. Just every situation is different, but that's what I would do. And those links are in the notes. But I would definitely get more knowledge about your county and your state and how the money works around you. You need more situational intelligence. And my guess is, looking from your background, there's a lot you can do with it. And be patient. Don't wait until you see a real opportunity or someone you think is worth supporting to do anything. Just keep learning and keep learning. Sometimes it takes, a year or two of steadily learning to suddenly see an opportunity or have an aha. But then it starts. So just have faith that the more you learn, the more that knowledge can help you see opportunities and protect your risk. Question: long ago, I heard that one letter represented 5,000 voters. Signing a petition is very easy, but writing a letter shows a deep commitment to the issue being addressed. After the Enthra scare in 2001, I was told they were discarding all letters sent by to our representatives. One question: is it best to send letters by mail or email? I think you can send them both, but I personally prefer the mail. I think it's better, and even if registered. Question two: I think it's very helpful having sample letters posted. It's a wonderful idea. I would encourage people to modify the letters. In my opinion, simply copying the letter is similar to signing a petition. Can you please comment on this? I think the more sincere and personalized any letter is, the better. And everybody's different. So I think speaking from your own heart, other people's letters help me a lot, but speaking from your own heart and your own experience is important. Dear Catherine, you often talk about buying food from people you trust with that caveat. Do you eat in restaurants? Yes, because of where I am. If you look at where I am, I think the food quality is very high. It's not perfect, but it's very high. When I'm in the Memphis area in Tennessee, I don't eat in restaurants in the Memphis area. And do I make a rare exception? Yes, but very rare, and I don't like to. Hi, Catherine. I've been inclined to view recent developments in Russia favorably, largely on the ground that Russia has successfully imposed checks on US and NATO imperialism, as in Syria, Iran, and now Ukraine. Further, the Russian leadership seems to be building prosperity into a joy, supported their populists. They claim to aim for a multipolar world and to oppose American unilateralism. However, in your new interview with Daniel List, on Jark Journalists, you expressed the view that Russian leaders are essentially on board with the worldwide movement to establish oppressive centralized controls. You've expressed this view in other interviews and reports. I admit that I've been at a loss to find such published about the internal political workings and social dynamics of Russia, apart from the usual Western propaganda. Could you provide some references to your source for just information as to what the aims of the Russian political class and the Putin team actually are? For example, are there published accounts, have they been carrying out pharmaceutical depopulation, on and on? They seem to be badly... So the reports I've been getting are simply reports on the use of biometrics, and obviously they had a vaccine program, but the use of biometrics and other digital systems. Then you ask about the Russian Orthodox Church. Okay, so I'll try and publish as much as I get. A lot of it is about the application of technology for banking or control. A lot is reports from inside the country. So reports from Russians or people who have family there. I want to be very optimistic that the Russians in particular can preserve with the Russian Orthodox Church more human value. And certainly Putin has said a lot like outlawing, or done a lot like outlawing GMO foods, which is very encouraging. But I would just be very, very careful. We need to hold every country to the test of not just wanting national sovereignty, but protecting individual sovereignty. And that's what's important. I do think it's important to understand that the impulse to destroy individual sovereignty in Russia didn't come from Russia. It came from Wall Street, in my opinion. So I recognize that Russia is the target of interests in the West that, are hugely destructive of individual sovereignty. If you look at what the Tsar had done before the Bolshevik Revolution, the Tsar was much more supportive of individual sovereignty. Hi, Catherine. I'm surprised you do not receive a tsunami of questions every week. Yes, I do receive a tsunami of questions. Most of the, I get tons of questions that don't come from subscribers, so they don't make it into Ask Catherine. I think the ability to directly tap into your knowledge is one of the most valuable things in the subscription. I appreciate that. I want you to understand the whole Salieri report basically emerged from people asking me questions, and finally I needed staff support, so we had to turn it into a business. I wanted to ask you about the phrase blood in the water when I heard you mention in previous Money and Markets. Do you think that the deep state has formidable enemies that are waiting to see which side their agenda implementation leans towards? And if there is serious opposition, that would give rise to an opportunity for the alternative status quo. Yes, I do believe they have formidable opposition, but I think their greatest opposition is internal competition, is what I believe. Yeah, so would that give opportunity for the alternative status quo? Yes. If you listen to my interview with Thomas Meyer on the story of Gideon, that will explain. Do you see this becoming a likely and most importantly a viable one for humanity scenario? And who would those players be? Well, that's a very good question. I think the most powerful opposition is internal competition. I think the second most powerful opposition are the 20% of the people in the world who do the bidding of Mr. Global, who run the trains and fire up the electricity and get the operations of the world done. They're the professional management class. And I think if they should realize where this is going in time, they have the power to completely bollocks them up. And that includes groups traditionally that have been members of the U.S. military and are very patriotic. I wish we had as many patriotic people in the intelligence agencies. I pray that we do, but I have no personal experience or demonstration of that fact, but I pray we do. I read this recent analysis that I really enjoyed, as it sets an optimistic tone. The global South is the potential opposition. That is true. So if the South does not go with the dollar and fights, it supports the commodity producers, that could definitely break it up. But remember, the more the unipolar model tries and fails, the harder they're going to be on their own population. So remember that. My gut feeling is that this agenda is so unpopular due to its psychopathic and dystopian nature that it is impossible to go on. I agree with you, at least in the form it was conceived. But then we see the state continuing push forward, having unlimited agents on their side. What they have is invisible weaponry. And what I've seen is the invisible weaponry continues to basically command the space from the skies in space, whether with fires or weather warfare or tsunamis or, you know, earthquakes or it's basically violent hardball, but using invisible weaponry and mind control and neurological weapons are basically part of the invisible weaponry. And that's why I think it's so important we talk about the invisible weaponry, because we're going to have to stand up against it, and it's ferocious. And that's where countries break down and leaders break down. You know, it's like the minister up in Canada who said, you know, I want to thank the people who sent the rain. Without the rain, the farmers will collapse. I just wonder how powerful their mind control is, or their ability to eliminate the opposition. Finally, I've read somewhere else a comparison to the last financial regime change back in the 70s when inflation was a similar level and chaos reigned to prepare for the switch. Are the two moments comparable? And what can we learn, expect from the 70s? What I would do is, Lou Krumman has an interesting interview with Grant Williams. I think it may be subscriber only, where he describes what got Volcker to raise interest rates and slam the brakes on hard. I think it describes what happened in the overt economy. I don't think it is a good description of what happened in covert, but it'll give you a sense of some of the similarities between then and now. And it's basically the insiders flush with cash, jamming the outsiders and stealing all their stuff. And the same thing is happening again this time. Thank you always for helping us make sense of our crazy world. Then a post on the largest mass shooting in U.S. history, the killing of 297 Sioux Indians at Wounded Knee Creek at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota in 1890. They came to confiscate their firearms for their own safety and protection. As soon as the Sioux turned in their firearms, the slaughter began. I can't tell you, there's no more important issue politically in the United States than protecting the Second Amendment. Do not let them take the guns, or they will do to you exactly what they did to the Sioux in 1890. Don't think they won't. Question, Unwound. I can't find Unwound with Steve Roche. That's because it's called Unbalanced. It's in the library. It just put in Steve Roche, R-O-A-C-H. And I sent you the link, so you should have it. Question, someone shared this with us, and if accurate, it bears keeping in mind. It reads that this was among the first federally backed gun confiscation. Okay, that relates to the largest mass shooting that's above. Okay. Brazilian women who ended communism. This was somebody, a post that someone sent me on how the Brazilian women with prayer and using the rosary end communism. And it's great. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's, well, maybe I should. I'll read it fast. In the 1960s, communism was spreading across the globe. Russia was gaining power by manipulating already corrupt governments into adopting communism. In Brazil, the corrupt president was making progress, appointing communists to positions of leadership and taking power away from the Catholic Church. A cardinal took to the radio to urge all Brazilians to pray the rosary every day for the intention of overthrowing the communist regime. The president laughed at the cardinal's address, saying the government, not the rosary, had real power in the modern world. That was when a woman named Donna Amelia Bastos had a revelation. I suddenly decided that politics had become too important to be left entirely to the men. Moreover, who has more at stake in what's happening to our country than we women? Knowing the importance of the rosary and the power of group prayer, Bastos began recruiting as many people as possible to pray the rosary in large groups. Her campaign, called the Campaign of Women for Democracy, gained momentum as women all over the world banded together to stop the spread of communism. Communist rallies were broken up and disrupted by the sheer number of women gathering there to peacefully pray the rosary. At one communist rally, over 20,000 women praying the rosary drowned out the voices of the communists and sent everyone home. At another rally, a communist leader stormed off the stage and went home after he couldn't focus on his speech over the sound of 3,000 rosaries rattling. In São Paulo, over 500,000 women marched through the streets praying the rosary and asking the Blessed Mother to stop the to intercede and save them. After the march, the president, who tried to stop the rosary rallies with threats of military action, finally resigned and fled the country. The women of Brazil led what is to this day the most peaceful, successful anti-communist protests through the rosary. The Blessed Mother saved Brazil. It's from rosary.com. That's very cute. I do think prayer can work miracles, and Problem is, you know, they should have used their rosary to stop disaster capitalism too, and the drug business. Okay, Governor Newsom unveils historic new budget. The state has collected $55 billion more in taxes than officials expected in January, leaving it with an estimated $97.5 billion surplus. What taxes? Unemployment is high, but I guess wages are up. Property values are up too. On the other hand, Newsom sent residents checks before the recall election. Is Biden giving them the money as well? Yeah, the state coffers have, during COVID, received huge gobs of money. But as prices rise, then in fact, inflation, you know, so if you have a sales tax that's a percent of higher prices, it raises taxes. I just don't see how they can get this kind of budget surplus without some funny business. Yeah, the funny business is called going direct monetary policy and combined with COVID restrictions. So, you know, when you steal lots of market share and stuff it into your companies, those companies can and do pay more taxes. This is why, if you haven't seen the latest wrap-up that we put out in hard copy on taxation, I strongly recommend you read it because we can't keep paying taxes to organizations that use the money in criminal ways. We have a responsibility as citizens to make sure that money gets spent according to the law. Owner of a small trucking company has a warning for everyone. Since this is an information group along with candidate stuff, please read this. I own a small trucking company, and this is what the fuel crisis is doing to our country. Today, I filled up my truck to deliver products that help keep our country fed. When I filled up my truck, it cost me $1,149.50. I have three trucks, so it's costing me $3,500. My trucks generally run 5 to 6 days a week, so we'll just estimate on the low side and say five. That's $17,000. Last week was over $20,000 for 1 week that I have to pay out of my pocket to try and keep not only my children fed, but those of my employees in my country. Trucking companies are going under left and right, literally hundreds weekly. If you're not aware what you're wearing, what you're eating, what you're living in, what you're driving, so more about why truckers are in trouble. And this applies not just to trucking, but many other businesses in the supply chain, which is why you want much more local resilience. You cannot afford for things to be coming in from thousands of miles away, depending on transportation systems that are going to get slaughtered by rising energy costs and a lot of the games being played in hiccuping the supply chain. Health and food. Hi, Catherine. Have you heard of injectable pharmaceuticals that are not sold, marketed as COVID-19 mRNA vaccines having substance in them that are similar, identical to what is in the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine from Pfizer and Moderna? In other words, are those other injectable pharmaceuticals out there, may they have these stealth ingredients? Here's the thing, you know, we have a complete breakdown in lawfulness, integrity, and quality control throughout the pharmaceutical chain, both government and private corporations. So, you know, I hate to say this, I don't trust any of it. I need to go in for a health screening procedure that is not necessary for me at the moment. This procedure requires that I receive an injection that is made by Pfizer. I mean, Pfizer has a record, I would just say they have a record of serial criminal violations. I would no more allow anybody to put an injection into my body that's made by Pfizer than the man in the moon, but that's me. You also have to take another product made by Bayer. Judy Mikovits discusses the use of fetal cell lines in many common products made by Bayer. So I have reluctance. You should be able to get the insert to see, but you know, I have to tell you, I've basically avoided the entire US hospital and medical establishment for decades. I thought that the overarching question here about other non-vaccine related medicines having the potential to be weaponized as a vector to get those who have not had the shot injected with the mRNA. So let me just mention something. I read a book and wrote a book review of a company called ChinaRx about the deterioration in the pharmaceutical industry in the United States. It's one of the most frightening books I've ever read, and written by a very sensible, not designed to be fear-porn at all. And before you take another drug, I would recommend you read it. I just think pharmaceuticals have had a complete breakdown in the quality control for many different reasons, one of which is they're putting secret ingredients. But it's the same problem with the air we breathe and the food. And to a certain extent, you have to live in this world. So, but I would be very careful. And it would be great if you could find a doctor who understood these issues and was had spent the time and effort to identify which pharmaceuticals were absolutely clean and safe. And I think that more of us who walk into our doctors and say, look, you know, you're responsible to make sure that the ingredients are what they say they are, that the ingredients are fully disclosed, and then they're not coming from a place in China that has no quality control, you know, because they can kill, they can and do kill people. So, you know, doctors are going to have to start doing this, and they haven't had to do this before. Now they do. So I would really push back against the medical establishment and hold them accountable. Dr. Farrell mentioned that he only purchases bison meat because of his concern for industrialized beef. 98% of bison that is produced is finished in feedlots and grain is used, including corn. I've purchased from one producer in South Dakota wild, but always looking and researching other resources. It's more difficult to find. The industrial model is predominant in our meat supply and our research all the time. Corruption is everywhere. I agree. One of the things I really appreciate about the Netherlands is we have locally a couple of excellent butchers who are sourcing locally, and there's no industrialized, you know, feedlot operations. The pressure to shut all that down is upon us, so it's a matter of time until we fight this out and win. Hi, Catherine. Was very pleased to see this posted mainstream. The truth is getting out. It's Pfizer from Australia, Pfizer vaccine side effects. Scientist suffers long-vax neurological symptoms, brain fog. Oof. Okay, nothing in local gatherings. A whole bunch of recommended links. We've posted them here. Thank you, as always, for the links. Neighborhood Watch, the rise of mass urban surveillance. The smart grid. I'm telling you, they want to turn neighborhoods into digital concentration camps. A whole bunch on banks, sort of the banking issues. One from Naked Capitalism. Germany just gave a timely lesson on the dangers of going completely cashless. Which one is this? Let me just check it. Cash everything. Cash Friday, cash every day. A recent outage in Germany underscores one of the dangers of a cashless economy. System fragility. Oh, you bet. Can you imagine the electricity going out and everybody not being able to use credit cards, etc.? And you absolutely want to have cash and coin. Thank you very much for sending it. We, you know, subscribers sent us such great links. It's funny, you can go read all the top or largest, most popular websites and not get the great stuff that our subscribers send. And some of the, also the links that Feral subscriber center, just great. I really appreciate it. And then new film argues who engaged in population control experiment under guise of vaccination program. I think this is the how to treat autism. Looks interesting. The methylation impairment. Okay. Something from the WEF graduates. I'm not going to post that because it links to a website I wouldn't recommend. Then good film outlining the abysmal dangers on money invested into cryptocurrencies. Line goes up, the problem with NFTs. I haven't looked at that one, but I will check that out. Obviously, Bitcoin just hit 20,000 today. Let me see where it is right now. Please, 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 if you did taxable transactions at the high, it's up a little bit, but it's down 7% today. So it's, you know, we're all the way down from 67 or 68,000 to 20,000. If you did taxable trades with crypto at the high in late last year, so I think Bitcoin was November, it hit, I think it was November, it hit 68,000. Let me just check when it was. When was the high? Yeah, November, 67,549. Okay, if you did taxable transactions there, please make sure you've got your taxes, you've got tax money escrowed in the dollar. I keep telling that because, Usually when we get these kind of pump and dumps, you know, the next thing that happens is the IRS auditors show up, so please be careful. A book worth reading in the search for Mr. Global works well with another. Germany plots with the Kremlin. Huh. I don't know that one. I will check it out. A link from Saker on what happens to Europe when Russia wins. I haven't looked at that one. Let me just take a look. It's interesting to watch the Biden administration backpedal on what's going on in the Ukraine. And frankly, you know, what I want to know is where the 40... They send the $40 billion on the theory is that there's a war and then suddenly it's all over. Are almost all over, and the $40 billion is gone where? Question mark. It's a good one from the Saker, which I'll send into the website and read later. I really appreciate your sending that. I try to keep up with Saker, but it's hard. The volume of information, as we know, is overwhelming. Digital tyranny and the QR code from Global Research. Don't do it. Do not do it. I'm in the process of trying to figure out how to throw out my smartphone, as we all are. But I have a whole bunch of new Faraday bags. Anyway, okay, that's it for this week. Everything will be in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for everything you're doing. And thank you for joining me on the Solaria Report.